Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
It's time to go to the counseling couch, and Maestro, you are the subject.
I'm on the clock?
You are on, no, actually, I am on the clock. Oh. You All right. are the patient. I want to know what you are afraid of.
What am I afraid of?
What are you afraid of?
Don't like snakes, and spiders are not my friends either.
Okay, I can dig that. I can do that. Let me tell you what
I don't like spiders and snakes. That's an old song.
Uh-huh.
But I know not, I had it ready for you, but that's another story. You
okay, well.
What about you?
Me? I'm afraid of getting older. Today is my 43rd birthday, and I've got the middle age spread.
That is so young.
The thinning hair. I mean, I am way too cool to be that old. You know what I'm saying? Way too cool.
You do not even look that old.
That's well, you just earned your pay, even though I'm not paying you a thing. But that's all right. Now.
And look, you're like me. You've got the added, just in case, just to help us, we got the beards.
That's right.
I shave this beard, I lose 10 years, just like that.
There
Same
you
with
get.
You.
That's true.
So
that is true. I am holding that in my back pocket, no doubt about that. Actually, I really don't care about getting older. I think it's just one step closer to going to heaven, pal. That's what I see it. But let me tell you what I really am afraid of. I am afraid that someday something awful is going to happen. I am afraid that someday Krispy Kreme donuts will go out of business. If that happens, my life will be over. It will be devastated. I am one of the few keepers of the coveted Hot and Now application that goes on the iPhone and iPad. I can be anywhere on the planet, pull up my iPhone Krispy Kreme Hot and Now app, and see where the closest Krispy Kreme donut store is, and whether or not they're currently baking a fresh batch of glazed donuts. And now that's how dedicated I am to the Krispy Kreme donut world. And if that falls apart, I'm done. I'm done.
The one other thing I'm afraid of is that I'm listening to this radio show, and you're not going to tell me what the name of the show is.
Oh, you know what? That actually is the next thing in my notes here. Yeah, this is Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings, and purpose at Career Callings is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can reach the show today at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. That's by phone or by text message. Or you can reach me at robbie@careercallings.net by email, robbie@careercallings.net. I wanted to launch out with the concept of fear, because I do want to talk about fear when it comes to career choices. You know, a lot of folks, for a lot of reasons, make a lot of bad choices regarding their career, and perhaps one of the biggest ones is regarding a fear that I'll talk about in detail in just a second that will drive a lot of people to making a bad career choice. But before I do that, I want to have a little bit more fun with this idea of fear. And just for sake of argument, or just for sake of fun, I should say, let's play a little clip here about some weird phobias that some famous people you know actually have.
Celebrities have phobias just like the rest of us. Here are 10 bizarre ones. Number 10. Former Baywatch star Pamela Anderson reportedly suffers from a condition that makes her fearful of her own reflection. Number 9. According to HLN, the superstar Tom Cruise suffers from ketophobia, making him fearful of going bald. Who would have thought? Number 8. Nicole Kidman is apparently terrified of butterflies. In an interview with InStyle magazine, the Australian-born beauty admitted, "It's so bizarre. I'm not afraid of snakes or spiders, but I'm scared of butterflies." Number 7. Do you know that the talk show queen Oprah Winfrey is fearful of chewing gum? This phobia is known as chiclephobia. It is said that she does not allow gum in her studio. Number 6. Pop icon Rihanna has ichthyophobia, which makes her fearful of fish. In an interview with Blender magazine, Rihanna said that once, when she was in water, she had a panic attack after seeing fish and had to be dragged out of water. Number 5. Reportedly, the Spider-Man star Tobey Maguire suffers from acrophobia, making him fearful of heights. USA Today reports that the star once said in an interview, "Standing on the edge of a building, looking over the edge, it's so horrible. I hate it." Number 4. Rapper Sean P. Diddy Combs apparently suffers from podophobia, a fear of feet. He admitted his fear on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Number 3. Sarah Michelle Gellar suffers from cometrophobia, a fear of cemeteries. It is ironic, as she played the role of a vampire hunter in the popular television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Number 2. Do you know Hollywood legend Robert De Niro reportedly suffers from dentophobia, a fear of dentists? Number 1. Johnny Depp is said to be fearful of clowns. This phobia is known as coulrophobia. The Guardian reports that Depp is afraid of clowns because he thinks that with their painted faces, it is hard to distinguish if they are happy or if they're about to bite your face off.
Johnny Depp has always struck me as a bit weird, Maestro. Worrying about a clown eating your face off, that seals the deal for me. He is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? What about Nicole Kidman and being afraid of butterflies? Now, that one's a hard one to get by with. That doesn't make sense.
Some people don't like insects, so yeah. Maybe it's something to do with that.
But she's okay with snakes? I mean, come on. That's
and spiders?
And Oprah banning gum? I mean, what's wrong with gum?
I had some teachers that must have had that same thing.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But now the clincher, of course. Yeah, I can see Tom Cruise having a problem if he's bald. And Tobey Maguire now playing Spider-Man and being afraid of heights, that's a problem. That is a problem. Now, one of the things not on that list that you just heard is not on that list because it's really not that odd. That's the fear that many, many people share of fearing what other people think. And that's the thing I want to talk about for the next few minutes. And that's a huge fear that a lot of people share that drives a lot of people to making really, really bad career decisions. One of the most common reasons that people will remain miserable in a job that they were never meant to do, or even go into a career field in the first place for which they have no passion, is because they're afraid of what someone else might think if they did what they were born to do, what God has showed them they want to do, or that they ought to do. Some people waste entire lifetimes ignoring God's calling for their lives because they're worried about what someone, maybe a parent, or a friend or a spouse, might think or say or do in response to a decision to serve the Lord, to follow their calling. I mean, I've been there at a time or two in my life. Maestro, what about you? You ever been in a place like that or know someone that has?
No.
Okay. Well, good. That's a good thing. You're a rare bird in more ways than one. But no, that's good. But I personally have suffered with that. I know a lot of people that have. Well, let me say it this way. I bet you I know a lot of people that have, and I bet you know a lot of people that have, because most people won't admit it freely.
Right.
Because if you admit that you're worried about what other people think, that makes you seem smaller in comparison to other people who proclaim that they aren't. A lot of people think or worry about what other people think. I mean, goodness gracious, how many times have we heard about or of movie stars who go off the deep end because they're no longer popular? They run to drugs or alcohol or some other type of venting mechanism because they are no longer the flavor of the day because they're so worried about what other people think or don't think about them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks will keep this fear bottled up inside, hoping to never let the cat out of the bag that they are absolutely miserable doing what they're doing now because they know, despite whatever success they may be even having in the eyes of the world, money or prestige or whatnot, they might be successful in that way, but deep down in their hearts, they know that God is not pleased with them because they're not walking the path that He has clearly shown them to walk. But I want to share with you something that God showed me a year or two ago that really changed the way I approach this issue. And it's this realization that I came to in reading the Word of God for my own daily devotionals. God does not pity us when we allow our fear of man to override our obedience to Him. He doesn't pity us. In actuality, He gets angry with us when we allow that to happen. Let me share with you a couple things from the Word of God that prove that, at least in my mind, and I believe it'll prove it to you as well. In Jeremiah chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 38, there is a discourse between the prophet Jeremiah and the king of Judah, Zedekiah. And during that conversation, Jeremiah is basically telling to Zedekiah, hey, look, God has told me to tell you, you need to surrender to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And when you surrender to him, life will be good. Even though you'll be a servant, you'll be okay. Your family will be okay. Judah will be okay. But if you don't surrender to him, you're going to suffer. Your family is going to suffer. And Judah is going to be burnt. That basically was the gist of the conversation. And in response to that message from Jeremiah to him, the king Zedekiah said this basically in Jeremiah 38:19. I am afraid of the Jews who have deserted to the Chaldeans. He was afraid of the Jews who had already left him, deserted to the Chaldeans, afraid that they would do something bad to him or cause Nebuchadnezzar to do something. And then later on in the same passage, Zedekiah said, I'm afraid of the princes that are still here in Judah. If they hear me talking about the possibility of surrendering to Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to be all over me. So he was deathly afraid of what people around him were going to say, were going to do. And as a result of that fear, he paid a heavy, heavy price. Jeremiah 38:22 actually says, Jeremiah 2 Zedekiah says, your friends have prevailed against your better judgment and have deceived you. And as a result of that, Zedekiah had his two sons slain in front of him, had his eyes put out, had his family destroyed, and had Judah burned because he would not obey the Lord. Like that as well, earlier in the book of Jeremiah, God warned Jeremiah in verse 17 of chapter 1, do not be dismayed or break down at the sight of their faces, lest I confound you before them and permit you to be overcome. What that meant was this. God was giving Jeremiah his assignment. And Jeremiah was fearful of it because he was afraid what other people would do. God said, don't be afraid. Stand fast. Because if you're afraid, I'm going to let them overcome you. If you stand fast with me, I will enable you to overcome them. God does not pity us when we fear man. He gets mad at us because we're not trusting him when we fear man. That's pretty powerful stuff. Who do you fear? Let's talk more about it on the other side of the break.
North Greenville University and Alex McFarland invite you to hear the best assembly of Christian speakers available anywhere this year at Truth for a New Generation. It's going to be at First Baptist Spartanburg, September 18th and 19th. The theme this year is Jesus, America's Hope. Come hear the Benham Brothers, Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, Will Graham, Del Tackett, Todd Starnes. Get your early bird ticket prices and get them today by going to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
This is certified financial planner Mike Miller with Plan First. When I co-founded Plan First over 30 years ago, I had no idea the journey God had for me. I'm burdened more than ever that Christians be good stewards of the resources God has put them in charge of. They should be prudent investors, minimizing income and estate taxes, and giving to kingdom ministries now, not just in their will. If you'd like to see if Plan First is a good fit for you, call me at 233-7405, or if you are out of the Greenville area, 1-800-588-7526.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover. careercallings.net/discover.
We are Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. It's Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. You can join the program today by phone or text message at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Right before we tuned out at the break time, we were finishing up a conversation about fear. One of the biggest reasons why people make a bad career decision is they fear what other people think. What are they going to think of me if I leave a cushy job that pays a lot of money to do what I think God wants me to do? What are they going to think if I go into a career field that matches up with my design and my passions but doesn't have a track record of making a lot of money? That kind of fear a lot of people struggle with. And what I was trying to point out to you is biblically, God does not respect that fear. God is angered by that fear. And we talked about Zedekiah and Jeremiah both in the book of Jeremiah, the consequences they would suffer if they gave into that fear of man rather than fearing God and trusting God. Jeremiah made the right decision. He feared God and did what God wanted him to do, and prospered in God's definition of prosperity and success. Zedekiah did not. Zedekiah lost his family, lost his eyesight, and lost his kingdom as a result of fearing man rather than fearing God. And if I can kind of wrap it up this way, just focusing on Jeremiah, had Jeremiah feared man rather than God, his unbelief would have led to humiliation at best. He would have faced persecution, maybe even death. And the point is, if we put more weight on man's power than on God's, we will find ourselves standing alone, completely incapable of resisting the tide that seeks to destroy us. The only defense against the enemies of our faith is to completely trust God for the power to overcome and to absolutely believe him when he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And if we treat God's promise as if it were a lie, then we will have left him, choosing of our own volition, to stand alone. And that's really what it boils down to. If we don't trust God, we think he's lying to us. That's what he sees it as. And I can't blame him. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. And if we don't trust them, we're basically calling him a liar because we're fearing man rather than God. That's something I've had to learn, and I still struggle with, and we all do. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to choosing God's path for your life or choosing your own or someone else's, the best thing is to choose God's path because he's the only one who doesn't lie. The rest of us get lied to, or well, oftentimes we lie to ourselves. Now, shifting gears, I want to talk about something else besides fear today. I want to talk a little bit about knowing yourself when it comes to your career calling. And Maestro, I want to pull you back in here with a question or two. Do you know what the difference is between an introvert and an extrovert?
extroverts, they almost, they want to do things with people around them. It's almost like they feed off of that. Introverts, it's like, no, let me do things more closed in with myself, and I can feed off of that.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Now, do you think extroverts and introverts make better do you think extroverts or introverts make better leaders?
I would think extroverts, but you know what? I don't really think it matters. I think either one can do the job. It's just I don't know.
Okay.
I'll leave that to you.
No, I think you're on the right track. We'll prove it in just a minute. What about salespeople?
Salespeople, you got to be an extrovert.
Got an extrovert. Okay, got to be an extrovert.
Unless, now wait a second.
Now don't equivocate on me. Is it yay or nay? No, go ahead.
I would think extrovert, but here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
The fear of failure of not making the sale may turn the extrovert
into an introvert.
Into a great salesperson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Last question, and I'll quit picking on you. Do you think society has more introverts or extroverts?
I actually think they have more introverts.
Okay, good. Now, we'll see how you did in answering the quiz questions in just a minute. I think you did a fine job. I will tell you that most of my adult life, I have, and I'm being very transparent here, I've had an underlying sense of inadequacy on this issue regarding extroversion and introversion. And the reason for that is because I've kind of learned through my studies that I am actually what you call an ambivert, and apparently a lot of people are. And an ambivert, I know it's kind of like a weird, strange animal, but Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines an ambivert as a person having characteristics of both extrovert and introvert. And there's a huge number of people that have both those tendencies. So I do have tendencies in both directions. Many people do. For example, if you put me in front of a microphone like right now, or you put me in front of an audience, I am all extroverted. I mean, I have no problem with that whatsoever. But if you put me in a chamber of commerce, business after hours, networking setting, or some other large social event, I am going to run for the nearest corner and hide. I do not like that kind of setting. I'm very introverted. So it depends on what kind of setting I'm in, whether or not it will pull the extroversion out of me or the introversion. Now, for our society, for as long as I can remember, has praised the extroverted personality as the personality type that generates more success in just about every arena of life. So therefore, most organizations for decades have geared their workplace culture to encourage extroversion tendencies and to shun those introversion tendencies that society has deemed unworthy. So I've often felt very, very insecure and shaky in many of the workplaces I've been in because I do have so many of these introversion tendencies. I've recently learned that I'm not alone, though. A lady named Susan Cain is the author of a New York Times bestseller titled Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Cannot Stop Talking. She's an honors graduate of Princeton and Harvard Law School, and she's one of the foremost experts on the subject of introversion being not only a good thing, but in some ways a very powerful thing. Now, I want to play a couple of clips from a couple of different interviews that Susan Cain has conducted, and the first one here will help us all understand that there are many people with introverted tendencies.
So I sat on a panel recently, and it was like there's Candace Bergen, George Stephanopoulos. I'm trying to remember who the other people were, but it was all these people who were really out there in their daily lives.
Right.
They all said they're complete introverts.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the interesting things, because I just think so many introverts learn from a very early age to act more extroverted than they really are.
Yeah.
So if you really are a dyed-in-the-wool introvert, you go around thinking that you are the only one who has these needs, you know, these needs to get away sometimes.
Right.
And that there's something wrong with you for having them. And you don't realize that half the population feels the exact same way.
And later in that same interview, Susan did say that there are plenty of studies that indicate that somewhere between one-third and one-half of the U.S. population would have or label itself as introverted. And Emma Watson, the actress Emma Watson, some people know her from the Harry Potter days. I think she's been in several of the things since then. I think she starred in a movie with Tom Cruise last year called, It was a sci-fi film. I forget what it was called. But, she's an introvert. And indicated that society does tend to tell us that if you're introverted, something's wrong with you. And that's just not the case. It's just not the case. Now, to piggyback off of what's something that Susan said about media types, because she mentioned a couple of folks like George Stephanopoulos in that
clip. Of course, Stephanopoulos made his name as someone in the Clinton presidential administration years ago, but has been in media for many years since. I used to be a member of the National Speakers Association and the Carolina Speakers Association in a past life for a different reason than what I'm doing now. And many of the very successful speakers I tried to learn the business from identified themselves as introverts when I talked to them one-on-one in a quiet setting, just trying to learn a little bit more about the speaking business. Now, before I play this next clip, before Maestro plays this next clip, I want to encourage everyone to listen closely about what Susan Cain has to say specifically with regard to leadership and introverts.
Introverts have been taught to kind of fake it and to pass as extroverts. So it's not always easy to spot the introverts among us. Introversion is really about how you respond to stimulation, including social stimulation. So extroverts crave large amounts of stimulation. That's how they feel at their best. But introverts feel most alive and most switched on when they are in quieter environments. You know, Bill Gates is a pretty well-known introvert. The ideal self in this culture is bold, it's alpha, it's gregarious, it's comfortable in the spotlight. And these values are reflected in our schools and our workplaces. So introverts are routinely passed over for leadership positions, even though the latest research by Adam Grant at the Wharton School shows that introverted leaders often deliver better outcomes than extroverts. But this feels really surprising to us because we imagine that leadership means being, you know, very dynamic and charismatic. What I really want to see is introverts starting to feel comfortable with who they are and not feeling like their personality trait is something to feel guilty about or ashamed of. You know, I think we have a real fallacy now that all creativity, all productivity comes from a very gregarious place. And I think that that's a real mistake. I mean, it's certainly a problem for introverts who don't prefer to function that way. But I think it's bad for the companies in question as well, because they're not getting the best out of people's brains if they're constantly throwing them together and not giving them the space to go off and find out what's inside their own heads.
And what Susan's trying to point out is this: there's no reason to be ashamed of being introverted. Introverts have a lot to offer to the workplace, and the key thing is to understand whether or not you are introverted, extroverted, or have tendencies in both directions like I do and like many, many, many people do. And then when you're going about your job search, your career calling search, you need to understand who you are, how God wired you, and then go after jobs and workplaces that will foster, if I can say it that way, foster that personality type. The struggle that a lot of us have is that we've been told for most of our lives that extroversion is the way to go, so we try to fit a square peg into a round hole, and we're miserable by doing so. Part of the career callings process is not only to discover your design, but also to help you understand what kind of work environments you thrive in. And then when you are interviewing with different people, then you can ask fantastic questions about that workplace, because that particular job place may offer a career that's fitted for your design, but not a workplace environment that is, and it might not be best for you. Salespeople, by the way, just real quick, salespeople, there's no statistical difference between extroverts and introverts' performance. Salespeople are pretty much equal either way. And then also from a leadership standpoint, Bill Gates is one example, but that Adam Grant fellow that she mentioned did a study with some research partners and basically found out that if you have a passive team, extroverts do better. But if you have a proactive team of people who like to be creative, introverted leadership facilitates progress with that kind of team better than an extrovert. Extroverts usually shut those people down. So it depends on who your team is as to what kind of leader is best for it. Career Callings, join us at careercallings.net/radio. For links to today's articles and also a free copy of today's radio show. God bless.